Chapter 153. His lodging, the officer shifted his, and lying concealed in the same street, and, indeed, in the opposite house, soon found that Mr. Squeers and Mrs. Sliderskew were in constant communication. In this state of things, Arthur Gride was appealed to. The robbery, partly owing to the inquisitiveness of the neighbors, and partly to his own grief and rage, had, long ago, become known, but he positively refused to give his sanction, or yield any assistance to the old woman's capture, and was seized with such a panic at the idea of being called upon to give evidence against her, that he shut himself up close in his house, and refused to hold communication with anybody. Upon this, the pursuers took counsel together, and, coming so near the truth, as to arrive at the conclusion, that Gride and Ralph, with Squeers for their instrument, were negotiating for the recovery of some of the stolen papers which would not bear the light, and might possibly explain the hints relative to Madeline which Newman had overheard, resolved that Mrs. Sliderskew should be taken into custody, before she had parted with them. And Squeers too, if anything suspicious could be attached to him. Accordingly, a search warrant being procured, and all prepared, Mr. Squeers' window was watched, until his light was put out, and the time arrived when, as had been previously ascertained, he usually visited Mrs. Sliderskew. This done, Frank Cheeryble and Newman stole upstairs, to listen to their discourse, and to give the signal to the officer at the most favorable time. At what an opportune moment they arrived, how they listened, and what they heard, is already known to the reader. Mr. Squeers, still half stunned, was hurried off with a stolen deed in his possession, and Mrs. Sliderskew was apprehended likewise. The information being promptly carried to Snolly, that Squeers was in custody, he was not told for what that worthy, first extorting a promise, that he should be kept harmless, declared the whole tale concerning Smike, to be a fiction and forgery, and implicated Ralph Nickleby to the fullest extent. As to Mr. Squeers, he had, that morning, undergone a private examination before a magistrate, and, being unable to account satisfactorily for his possession of the deed, or his companionship with Mrs. Sliderskew, had been, with her, remanded for a week. All these discoveries were now related to Ralph, circumstantially, and in detail. Whatever impression they secretly produced, he suffered no sign of emotion to escape him, but sat perfectly still, not raising his frowning eyes from the ground, and covering his mouth with his hand. When the narrative was concluded, he raised his head hastily, as if about to speak, but on Brother Charles resuming, fell into his old attitude again. "I told you this morning," apostrophe said the old gentleman, laying his hand upon his brother's shoulder, "that I came to you in mercy. How far you may be implicated in this last transaction, or how far the person who is now in custody may criminate you, you best know. But, justice must take its course against the parties implicated in the plot against this poor, unoffending, injured lad. It is not in my power, or in the power of my brother Ned, to save you from the consequences. The utmost we can do is, to warn you in time, and to give you an opportunity of escaping them. We would not have an old man like you disgraced and punished by your near relation, nor would we have him forget, like you, all ties of blood and nature. We entreat you, Brother Ned, you join me, I know, in this entreaty, and so, Tim Linkinwater, do you, although you pretend to be an obstinate dog, sir, and sit there frowning, as if you didn't, we entreat you to retire from London, to take shelter in some place, where you will be safe from the consequences of these wicked designs, and where you may have time, sir, to atone for them, and to become a better man. Apostrophe, and do you think, apostrophe returned Ralph, rising, and do you think, you will so easily crush me? Do you think, that 100 well-arranged plans, or 100 suborned witnesses, or 100 false curs at my heels, or 100 canting speeches full of oily words, will move me? I thank you for disclosing your schemes, which I am now prepared for. You have not the man to deal with it, you think. Try me. And remember that I spit upon your fair words and false dealings, and dare you, provoke you, taunt you to do to me the very worst you can. Thus they parted, for that time, but the worst had not come yet. Gutenberg edition. End of chapter.